Good morning, Living Hope. How are you guys? Thank you. It's good to be back. First, I wanted to say that Uncle Daryl and Auntie Janine and Ben and Dee, they all send their love and greetings to you guys. So they say love and hi and everything from the other side. So that's awesome. So they just wanted to say thanks for all the prayers that you guys have given to them and all of that. It's very much appreciated. So they love you. They love you guys. And so, yeah, hi and greetings from them. Papa T, do you happen to have the presentation? Awesome. Oh, I just came back from South Africa on a 2-month internship with MoYeni, and last night I ended up making just a brief presentation of like the ministry outreach that we did. It's like, so we'll start with that, and then afterwards I'll go right into what we have to say. So that's just a kind of like a really brief synopsis of just like some of the ministry outreaches that we would do. But I really wanted to talk, what I really wanted to talk about today was just talking about belonging. I had kind of this revelation of belonging that I'd never really thought of before. And it was just kind of amazing. It kind of came during a time I was just kind of sitting in the room. The team had just left, the group of interns that I was with, as you saw in the pictures, they had left, and I was just kind of sitting there and in my room and just contemplating some things, and like I got this understanding of belonging that was just really quite amazing, and it got me all excited and ready to share with you guys. I found that there are like 3 aspects of belonging that was just really amazing. But first, let's kind of look at like the definition of what it means to belong. And according to the Webster's Dictionary, there are 2 definitions. One of them is simply possession, and the other one is like a close or intimate relationship, a sense of belonging. We're going to take a look at that second definition. And I also did kind of like a little bit of a Google search and found on a Psychology Today article about just get more of a psychological understanding of what it means to belong. And I came up with 3 things, and one of them was seeing value in life and coping with painful emotions. And this part was really intriguing and kind of was shocking, actually, to hear that a single instance of being excluded undermines self-control and well-being, creating pain and conflict. And look at, like, self-control is like a fruit of the spirit as well. So if you're not feeling like you belong, it like a simple instance of it kind of undermines that sense of like, where do I belong? You start to question. I don't know if you guys have questioned this before, maybe when you grow up as a kid or even now, like sometimes you wonder, where do I belong? I know sometimes you feel like I felt that way before, but it was amazing because like I started to kind of question that in my devotional time. And I came up, well, God showed me these like 3 different things that relate, 3 different aspects that I would like to call that relate to the completion of belonging. And it basically is 3, I'll just briefly give it. We have a friend, God calls us a friend of, well, we are friends of God. And then we're called sons and daughters of God. And God calls us his beloved. And I'll take a look at deep at those, a deeper look at those. But what's cool about that is like those, each of those are related to this overarching branch of the word belonging. So he calls us friend, he calls us sons and daughters, he calls us beloved. And each of those have different meanings on its own. It's really cool. So you can branch out like this, like you can branch out. And for friend of God, if you look in the scriptures, it's John chapters 14 through 15 that talks about what it means to be a friend of God. And I actually looked up the definition of what it means to be a friend. And a friend pretty much guides us. A good friend will guide you on a path of growth. And in John, it talks about how Jesus made known what he learned to us from the Father. So right there, Jesus is guiding us on this path to growth and a closer relationship with the Father. That's pretty cool. And so that's what it means when he calls us a friend, right? So and he wants us to be like well in him. He doesn't worry, not want us to worry or be anxious for nothing. It says that in Philippians 4 verses 6 and 7 that we're not to be anxious. And a friend will kind of guide us in that and coach us out of that anxiety. And that's pretty amazing. Just that one instance of being included in the kingdom of God. That's one instance. So the second instance to take a closer look, God calls us his sons and daughters. I am a son of God. You're a son of God. You're a daughter of God. And he says this, that we are in his family. In 1 John 3, verse 2, he says that we are sons and daughters, and then we are in his family in 1 Peter 1, verse 4. And then, this part is just amazing. Like, we are heirs in Christ, which means if we are heirs in God's kingdom, if we are sons and daughters of the King, that means we have an inheritance from him. And so he's including us in his family. We're not only his friend, but he's also including us in his family. So that's another deeper aspect of what it means to belong in the kingdom. And to take it a step further, God calls us his beloved. When somebody calls you his, like, their beloved, that means that, like, they're pursuing you with a passionate love, a desire to be closer to you in that, like, love way. And if you want to look at it in a cool way, somebody once said, like, if you hyphenate, if you split up the word beloved, it says to be loved. That's cool, right? So there are two meanings in that one word, beloved, be and loved. And so when we're God's beloved, he's pursuing us. He's calling us into this relationship with him, like a husband and a wife. Kind of, I know it's weird for guys, like Dad's spoken about that before, but he's calling us into this divine romance with him. And that's pretty cool. Like, he's pursuing us as a friend. He's pursuing us as family. And he's also pursuing us in a relationship that's like closer than a husband and wife. And like, this need to belong is so important. And it is so critical for survival. Psychologically speaking, we need this. We have this desire to belong. And sometimes we don't know where we belong. But God is clearly giving us, this is where we belong. We belong in him in this way. And it's like, it's amazing, because once we were slaves in sin, if you look back at in the very beginning, we were separated from this. And so now we have to, like we were separated from the love of God, but now we are no longer a slave in him, Galatians 4, verse 7. So he's calling us out of that slave-like mentality into this confidence of knowing where we are in him, and that, like, we can walk in confidence to be able to be like, okay, I am you can tell yourself that I am a son of God, I am a daughter of the King, and that's who you are. And he's just reminding us of his identity, of like our identity in him. And that's this foundation of how we're supposed to live. And we are his pursuit. He's clearly pursuing us. If you look through the entire Old and New Testament, that's what he wants. He's pursuing a relationship with his people. That's also in 1 John 3, verse 1. And he pursues us so much that he was willing to sacrifice his only son to be it closer to him. It's kind of profound when you think about it. And then, like, I also got to thinking of, like, because this is all also gearing to a higher, like, a bigger point of what it means to have an identity. Because we look for identity, I think, in different ways. We look at identity in our success, in our, for some, maybe it's, like, I know it sounds weird, but I think we even look for identity in our failures sometimes. But God calls us out of that. And which is incredible, because when you look at these three aspects, friend of God, sons and daughters, God's beloved, like, this is where our identity is shaped. I have this, all these aspects in Christ. This is where it's really cool and it's really mobile. I have these aspects, you have these aspects, but together we have these aspects in Christ. And or the fulfillment of the need to belong. We found it in Christ together. It starts with the individual, then it goes to you, then it goes to us. And then for those out there who don't know the love of Christ, it's our job to bring them into that fulfillment and to know who they are in Christ, to give that assurance of who they are. And like, it's just amazing. Like, our greatest need to belong then is completely fulfilled in Christ. We can't find it in people. We can't fill that need to belong with other people. We can't fill it in watching movies. We can't fill it in what music. We can't fill it in whatever it is. The only thing that we can have our sources is in Jesus Christ. And if you've ever doubted where you need to belong, you don't need to doubt anymore, because Jesus calls you his beloved and calls you to belong in him. So you can walk in full confidence and freedom. And that's the freedom that we have. And Yeah, and it's amazing because they end like he wants like this is part of what it means to put on the full armor of God. You can read it for yourselves in Ephesians 6, verse 10 and 18, kind of how to do that and what that means. But it's kind of like we need to put on the full armor of God as a daily exercise because the enemy will come and test his truth about who you are. He always does because he doesn't want you to realize how much power you actually have in Christ. And it's amazing because God not only thinking about this more and like God not only gives us armor for protection, but he also gives us a sword of the spirit, which is, if you think about it, what does a sword do? A sword empowers you to not only defend, but to attack. And you can fight back against the lies of the enemy, not just with armor, but with a weapon. So that's pretty powerful. He empowers you to, like, he calls you out into confidence where we're once in not walking in confidence and believing in something completely different. But once we recognize this truth about ourselves, we can be unstoppable and we can change the world. So let's get some devil's blood on our swords.
So I'm gonna you stay right there with that microphone because okay. I'm gonna ask you a few questions about your trip so these guys can experience. I'm going to grab this mic. Is that good, Greg? Yep. And, all right. I'm going to ask you a few questions, and then we'll open up for some questions from the rest of you guys as well, if you guys have things to talk about. But, Luke, you were in Africa for 2 months without your mom and dad. How did that feel? Be careful how you answer that question.
For us, it was up.
For us, we were in America without our son, which was like, I'm kidding, buddy. But in the 2 months that you were there in South Africa, you weren't just on your own. You went to people that you knew, Daryl and Janine and Ben and Deanne, but there was a whole bunch of people that you had to live in intimate quarters with, and you didn't know these people. Who were they?
The people that I was with, they were from all over the United States. We had some from North Carolina. A lot of them came from North Carolina, but we also had some people from St. Louis who had actually, a lot of the group had never traveled out of the country before.
Wow. So this is their first time overseas. They got to see Africa, like serious Africa, mm-hmm. right? And they got to, where did you guys stay? What was the accommodation? Where were you?
Okay, so where we stayed in the community of Bot Plus, which is right where our farm, the Emoyeni farm is. And that was our home base. But then we would go out and travel and go and do ministry outreaches. We had a week-long outreach in Mozambique, which is another country just on the border of South Africa. So we were there for about a week doing outreaches, and actually some of the pictures, like the guys doing some paintings and on the video, that was in an outreach that was done in Mozambique as well. So we were there. And then we went to the Kingdom of Lesotho. But that was mostly for fun, but we did do ministry as well.
Okay. Everywhere you went, you kind of ended
we
up
did
doing ministry.
Ministry, yeah.
We'll ask some questions about that in a minute. But then you also got to do a little day trip to Swaziland. So you kind of knocked off four African countries.
Pretty in 2 months.
Pretty exciting stuff. How many of you guys want to get those stamps in your passport? But, okay, so you flew to Africa. You arrived, the team was there, they'd already been there for a little while.
They'd been there for about a month, yeah.
Okay, and you just integrated right in. Was that difficult?
No, they were actually so welcoming. So if they're watching this, thank you guys so much for incredible, just the way you welcomed me, and thank you so much for that. And you guys are my forever friends.
That's awesome. And so you arrived, and when you were there, what did you guys do every day? Were you guys in like doing Bible lessons? Were you praying? Were you meeting other people? Kind of a mixture of all the above?
A mixture of all the above. And it would happen kind of as the day went. So we would go wherever the Lord led us.
Okay, so you would like take time in the morning to pray and say, God, what do you want us to do today?
We would, and then we would also have some, like we were pretty intentional about what we were going to do too.
Okay, so there were scheduled events. Mm-hmm. But a lot of it was going out into the community and meeting total strangers, right?
Yeah.
And talking to them about Jesus?
Yeah.
Wow. Anybody here ever done that kind of stuff before? It's kind of intimidating, isn't it, to go talk to strangers? Of course, it's a little easier when you're far away from home because you can be like, I don't ever have to see this person again. So, but it was still outside of your wheelhouse. I mean, you normally don't do that.
You don't normally do it. But once you do it and kind of take that leap of just like going to the person next to you, it's amazing. Like if you set time aside of your day, like maybe even 5 minutes to be like, okay, God, we're going to go out, I'm going to go out today. Give me a word for somebody. I mean, we do it for ourselves in church, right? So we can do it for other people out there. And that's what this whole message about belonging was about, is you can have the freedom to be able to go out and like take that leap of faith and tell people, look, Jesus loves you. And that's the message. And so we would try to do that. We would listen to what God had to say. We would write it out. And then we would go and actually see those words fulfilled. And wow. Like we would pray for people and just the look and the change on their faces. If they were having a bad day, they'd just be lit up and their whole week would be changed because of that one simple act of faith.
So you would do this sort of active listening where you'd listen to the Holy Spirit, you have a pen and paper and you say, all right, Lord, just tell me what you want me to do. And God would give you words for people you'd never met before.
Yeah.
And then you go look for that person.
And it, sure enough, like the person would show up. When you least expect it.
And then you take the courage. You say, all right, Lord, I saw this person in my mind, and now they were in front of me, and I'm going to go and give this person that word from you. So then you take the leap of faith, get out there and give them that word, and how did it work out?
A lot of the time, like I would say almost all the time, it worked out amazing. Just to see that change of, like, look, people I think are ready to hear.
Wow.
And so they just had this, like, they felt amazing. Like the look, again, I can't get over the look on their faces from just kind of like a normal everyday face to just completely shining because they were thought of that day.
Because it was like the love of God reached out and touched them through you guys. Mm-hmm. And a positive word was spoken over them, an encouragement or just saying, hey, the Lord noticed you today and he loves you and can we pray for you? Now, you told me and you told the early service that you guys did quite a bit of prayer for people who were sick.
Yeah.
Can you tell us a story about that?
Yeah, I can actually. Actually, it was in the video.
We saw praying, a picture of you laying hands on people. Okay.
It was amazing. We had this service where Tindai spoke, and I was saying to the early service, that guy can really preach when he's on fire. He's awesome.
We need to get Tindai here to preach in the pulpit, man. That guy can preach.
He is awesome. He'll like stir you up. And so that's what happened. Like the kind of like a mini revival started to take place in that setting, and it was really cool because I felt like he just started to pray for people who needed healing, and one lady had her back was sore, and I felt like needed to go up and pray for her, so I just did. Like we went up and just prayed for her, and that was the lady in that picture in the video. And after I prayed for her and asked her how she felt healed. It just felt better. Just like she just felt this warmth and love, and you can just see the look on the change. Like if you really pay attention, like the change on their face, everything just shone bright inside of them.
Praise God. That's awesome.
And that happened, and like we would just go about our daily life, whether it be grocery shopping or whatever, we'd just go out and take those, like we'd call those encounters treasures. And I really encourage like even the young guys to like go out and like talk to your cashier people who are checking you out when you buy something. Ask them if they need prayer for something, and just even ask them how their day is going. When they see that you care for them, it does something different, and it stirs up a connection that wasn't it like that you may not have done had you not done it. And the reward is amazing. And even if like they reject you, know that a seed is still planted and it's not done in vain.
Yeah. Did you guys have any rejections?
We had some rejections. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, it feels weird though, doesn't it?
It feels weird and you start to question a little bit, but you don't have to. You don't have to be afraid of that. And just know that a seed is planted. Maybe somebody somewhere along the line will come and rewater that seed.
Amen. So. Amen. Now, you guys had a few unexpected occasions. Like you said, you were in Lesotho and you guys went for Ben's birthday to go snowboarding.
Yeah.
Imagine that, snowboarding
on
in Africa.
One slope.
One solitary ski slope in southern Africa. It's somewhere almost 11,000 feet up above sea level.
That's right.
While you were there, you stayed in a bed and breakfast inn or something?
Yeah, we stayed at, actually the name of the inn was the Crocodile Inn. It's
okay.
Kind of funny. So we stayed at the Crocodile Inn, and we were just getting ready to go enjoy ourselves for the day. And so after, like, kind of during breakfast around that time, Ben felt that we needed to pray for people right there and just kind of, again, walk out in faith and just start to pray. And so we did. We prayed for the person who waited on us. And then she needed healing for something. We prayed. She got healed. She got better. And then she brought all the other staff to come and get prayed for. And every one of them got healed, too. Like, praise five people God, got healed from that day. It was one of those days that you never forget. And during the middle of all of this, I'll be honest, I didn't really know quite what to do. So I just felt God say, okay, quietly pray, lay your hand on the person's shoulder and pray in tongues. I'm like, okay, I'll do it quietly. And then I only know like knew one phrase of speaking in tongues. And then as I opened my mouth, it sounded as if I had been speaking it for years. Just more syllables came. And it just like
poured out of you.
It just poured out. Awesome. And it just like poured everything. The Holy Spirit just poured out on the team. And so it just like, everybody got healed, and people who had never healed others before got to experience that for the first time.
Wow.
At the same, all of this was happening collectively, and it was just incredible.
Well, we can see a difference in you because there's like a boldness on you after that event. I mean, here you are standing in the pulpit preaching, you know, which is so, that's like, wow. You know, and one of the telltale signs of just the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in a person's life is boldness. You know, we see that clearly in the book of Acts. The church was empowered by the outpouring of the Holy Spirit to do things they never thought they'd do before. So Peter, who was, you know, the guy who denies Christ three times, is now suddenly standing in front of huge crowds and leading people to Christ in public. So that's clearly an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and that's wonderful. We got to see that. And we'll expect the Lord to do many more things like that in your life and through you as well, Luke. But now, you went to Mozambique. You spent a week. Mozambique is one of the poorest countries in the world.
Seventh, actually.
Seventh poorest countries in the world. And, I mean, that's like seriously third world. What was your experience like? I mean, tell us everything from the latrines to where you slept to what you ate to the people that you ministered to.
Okay.
Tell us the story.
All of it. Okay, so Mozambique, it's very different to South Africa, which is South Africa, especially if you go to like the major cities like Johannesburg, Nelspruit. It's kind of more developing and more what you would
expect. More like this.
More like where we're living now. But Mozambique, everything, like the people's homes are made of like hand-stitched thatch. Like, and
wood and mud and leaves and stuff.
Palm trees. There are tons of palm trees, and so a lot of their houses are made from the palm leaves of the palm trees, and so that's just how they live. And it was crazy. Like, we first arrive, and like the bathrooms aren't like the bathrooms that we have here. they're kind of outside, and there's a latrine. Well, the bathrooms there. It's they call it a long drop. So,
so
we just basically
leave the rest to your imagination.
Yep. No demonstration.
No. At home afterwards. But that was an experience.
That
wasn't
was quite
it?
The experience. Yeah. I guess if you're a private person, good luck. It's out the window.
And spiders and snakes and stuff, right?
And cockroaches.
And cockroaches. So
it was great.
Of course, all of you want to sign up to go to Mozambique right now, don't you? Yeah.
But you end up getting used to it, and it doesn't bother you as much.
Wow. So all those little American kids who'd never left their own home state had to use it. Mozambique latrines, right?
They did.
Woohoo!
No one got away from it.
Oh, wow. And okay, so what about the food? What was that like? Was it any good, or were you like longing for a cheeseburger?
Well, not really. We kind of, like, they prepared food for us, and then we had our own food as well. And so, like, it felt normal.
Starve.
We didn't starve, so it felt normal.
Did you eat anything weird?
Well, I mean, not really anything too weird, except, no, not really.
Oxtail stew.
Oxtail stew in Swaziland, but
it's the best.
It's so good. But what was amazing, actually, when we were doing conferences in our outreach, we had full days worth of just seminar after seminar, just reminding people of their identity in Christ was essentially the summation of what the messages were about. And one of the people who attended came up to us came up to me and the group, or the team, I should say. And the team actually, that day, this day, the team ended up having to do something different. But one of the leaders who was leading it wanted me to be with them for this. And so what happened was, there's a lot of witchcraft in Mozambique and in Africa, and in continent of Africa as a whole. It's pretty big over there. And like, the effects can be anything from like manifestations of physical symptoms and like the all that stuff. I don't really want to scare anybody, but but like, so like, you can see like the devastation of that, and then how it just kind of controls people. And then one of the people who attended ended up, it's actually really amazing, she felt like the joy that the team carried, and just felt convicted in her own mind that she needed to give up the influence of witchcraft on her life. So she ended up burning the stuff that she had from the witchcraft and just surrendered it up to Christ. And just like, it was an amazing thing. She gave this thing up. And so like, the guy who built the fire and had it happen, like, proved to her and like pulled the stuff out that was in the fire, and she got to see it burn, like all the witchcraft stuff. Like, you saw the symbols and everything in the fire, and she saw that it burned and it was no more. And the thing, and like, that was a dead thing in her life that God was now like restoring freedom and just praise bringing God. New life into her home, even, and even into her own soul. And just like, so she left, and then the team, we prayed for her later, like that day or the next day, and she just had a completely different countenance on her face from that, and just seemed to have been like set free from it. Amazing. So it was amazing.
So she repented from her idolatry and then turned her back on the old ways and turned to Christ, and demonstrated that through the rejection of the symbols and the paraphernalia, and burned it publicly. It's kind of biblical, isn't it? I mean, that's what they did in Ephesus. Remember, they took their witchcraft books. The Apostle Paul, it's recorded in the book of Acts, that the Apostle Paul preached, and everybody brought their books and their paraphernalia, and they had a massive burning because they were turning from their sins to serve the living God. And what an amazing thing. Now, you mentioned in the early service that the kind of take home for you was something real special. You said there was just this idea of going from death to life. You want to share a little bit about that?
Yeah, I think that, I mean, Dad just said it. Like, if I were to sum up the trip in like a single phrase, it would be like the dead coming to life again. Like, all these things, that there was this theme that was evident in the entire, like, everything from spiritual to the physical. Like you look outside, like we had to do like a fire break one day, and what was amazing about this is like, the fire will burn everything in its path, and it'll leave nothing but ash in its wake. And give it a few more days, and green grass from the burn, like, I mean, you guys know, you've seen it before, like, the green grass will come up, and it's like a representation of something new. So even physically there, right there, is just a representation of God doing something physically new. And
that's awesome.
And there's that aspect. And then there's the burning of the witchcraft materials that this woman did out of faith. Like, she had something dead that was holding her down and holding her captive. Wow. When it burned from the fire, it was also a natural fire, but this, like, the spiritual fire that came from that was bringing new life into her as well. Wow. From doing something physical to impacting the spiritual.
Praise God.
And like, yeah, and that would be the main takeaway, and just something that just kind of amazes me is that that's what God does. He makes the old things pass away. Like, He makes all things new.
Yeah. Amen. 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 Yeah. So you also learned to cook while you were there, right?
We did.
You guys had to cook for each other. I mean, Daryl and Janine didn't do the cooking for you, huh?
No, they didn't. We had to come up and do the cooking ourselves. So we went shopping. We went grocery shopping. Like, we lived together. We did life for 2 months and 3 months together, 2 to 3 months together. And so we had divided our team into different cooking teams. So I was on one team and other people were on other teams. And so we would rotate our cooking schedules, like, once a week or something. One team would do one night, and the other team would do another night, and that's how it would be. We'd have it on a rotation, and so we learned how to cook really fast.
So tell the truth, did you ever burn the toast?
I did not burn the toast.
And so you guys did cooking, you washed the dishes and stuff. Did you make your bed every day?
Yes.
Good answer. Would you recommend this experience for other young people?
I would totally recommend it for everybody who wants to go. Guys, it'll change your life. You'll come back feeling more complete in who you are because of what Christ has done for you.
Wow.
And you'll come back just completely wanting to change the world. I think, and like I know that's speaking boldly, but or big, but it's the truth. You do feel different, and it's like you want to do more. And once you travel, you can never really stop. So I highly encourage you guys sign up, sign up.
Now you had you had a pretty remarkable experience because the trip wasn't inexpensive. It cost a lot of money to go there. You had to pay each month to be there, plus your airfare and all the other stuff. How did that all come about?
Honestly, like it came about through, I wrote support letters. I put stuff on Facebook. You can do like a GoFundMe account or something, like just those practical things that you can do. You could do fundraisers, not only digital fundraisers, but you could do like yard sales, all those kinds of things that other people have done before to raise money and raise finances, and also pray, because I know I prayed. I wasn't quite sure. And then somebody ended up out of nowhere just... covered pretty much the cost of the trip. And so just if the God will make a way, for sure.
God will make a way. Amen. Amen. Now, I know that some folks here gave towards that, and we're very grateful for those of you who contributed towards that.
Thank you guys so much.
A real blessing.
For real, thank you.
Those of you who might be watching online who contributed towards this trip for Luke, thank you so much for that. I just want to encourage you, as the guy who does all the finances and keeps a record of what's going on with the Emoyeni mission, I can tell you that everybody who ever signs up to go on a trip ends up going because God provides. I mean, we really, it's amazing. God does it. And sometimes people go and they're not quite sure. They come back and they still owe a bill and they don't know how they're going to do that. But God always covers it. And I've never yet had somebody who wasn't able to go because of money. So it's kind of exciting to watch. And it's exciting to see it actually happen for my own son, that the Lord opened up doors for him to do it. And I just want to encourage some of you young ones that are listening. Some of he had to pay full price. He did. I mean, no breaks. No breaks for him. He paid the full price like everybody else. But God provided every penny that he needed. For some of you young guys who right now are too young, like Peter, you're a little too young to go to Africa for 2 months on your own. But I don't know, 10 years from now, 15 years from now, you might be at that age. And in the meantime, you know what? Dream big. Dream big. God's got big things for you guys. Tian, the Lord's got big things for you, sweetheart. I mean, God can do more than you could ask or imagine. And there's a great big wide world of adventure with Jesus out there. Some of it's right here at home. Some of it's far away from home. But if you walk with the Lord, you will never be bored. That's the truth. He's not boring, is he?
He's not boring.
And were you bored at all on the trip?
No, there's no time to be bored.
Did you watch any TV while you were there? Any Netflix?
There's no Netflix. There's no Wi-Fi.
And you didn't even miss it, did you?
Not at all.
Wow. Hey, parents, I'm just saying, there might be a solution there. Send those kids on a mission trip. Well, Luke, thank you. Thank you for representing us as a church.
You're welcome.
And thank you for representing the Lord well with your trip. We're really, really, really proud of you. Do any of you have any questions that you'd like to ask Luke? Yeah.
I think one big thing for me, like I was just listening to you guys, and it reminded me of in high school I was the manager of the football team for 4 years.
Wow.
One of the things that was good, even my sophomore year, we won the league championship.
Wow, Bobby.
Played in the Super Bowl, and I was wondering, was there any camaraderie?
Wow.
The camaraderie. You like that, yeah. Was the camaraderie on your team?
There is so much camaraderie, and that was amazing just to have
it. Does feel special to be a part of a team, doesn't it?
It really does. There's something about being on a team that's very valuable.
Absolutely, Bobby. Good, good. Anybody else with questions? Yes, Tara.
Well, it's not a question. I just want to, Luke sat at our table before we left. I'm going to cry. Just like, I know not mom and dad, but I'm just so proud of you.
Thank you.
come on.
I'm watching this young man transform before us
Yeah.
into this mighty man of God.
Amen.
Thank you.
Like, you've always had a heart for the Lord, but Luke, you came back bold. You came back in that beautiful, humble place that God has always had you. But you came back with confidence because God was calling you. You're his friend, his son, his beloved.
Amen.
And you took that and you ran with it. He is so proud of you.
Thank you,
Tara. We're so proud of you. But like, I can't express enough having sat there and listened to the things that you wanted and were hoping for and how God just totally did everything beyond and above all that you could ask or imagine.
Yeah.
Amen.
And how exciting, having been there ourselves, to watch you now come back just so alive and so touched by the Lord and so changed because you were willing to give this time to him.
Amen. Thank you, Tara.
Amen.
Thank you,
Tara. Amen.
Thank
you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. Jason first, and then, yes.
Good question. I think what we could do is, at least what I want to do, is be more intentional about walking in this. And how you can do that practically is, and how I'm going to do it practically, is at least set aside a few minutes every day to read the word, just to keep that alive and just to listen to the Holy Spirit. And even in my daily walk, I hope what I want to do is actually go out more and just tell people about God's love. So I think in the day-to-day, like walking, like maybe even ask somebody, okay, can I pray for you when I'm buying something at the store or something? It doesn't have to be complicated. You don't have to make it complicated. But I think just doing that, like even setting aside, like maybe like, okay, I'm going to do this once a week or something, or maybe twice a week, just do this, or following the prompting. I think if I do that, that'll help it keep alive.
So amen.
Hopefully that helps.
That's beautiful. That's absolutely beautiful. Stephanie, before you, yes.
Hello.
Terry Lynn.
Thank you.
Wow. He can neither confirm nor deny
that. Yeah.
At this time, we will refuse to comment on that. But
thank you very much.
Thank
though.
You.
That's very kind. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Terry Lynn. That's a very interesting question. Isn't
it's okay. Can neither confirm nor deny that.
Yeah. Stephanie. Jason, yeah.
And then, you know, about the witnessing and sharing, and you decide you want any other people to join you, I will join you.
Awesome.
That's awesome. Great. I think if we do it together, it'd be great. Everybody.
If you want a small group to do it, just, you know, I'm in.
Awesome. Thank you. That's
Amen.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Amen, Stephanie. Amen.
Amen.
And guys, this whole weekend with the Songtime Conference is about witness. And remember I mentioned we've got these really keynote speakers. These really big keynote speakers, Ravi Zacharias and Rebecca Manley Pippard. If you want to be inspired and to have some good admonition, I really want to encourage you to be there Friday night and Saturday night at the Songtime Conference right across the street at the Resort and Conference Center. Because it seems like the Lord is just stirring up our hearts, all of us, through these little things, whether it's Luke or your own hearts that are just saying, yeah, I want to do that. I mean, it means you're going to talk to people at the bank, you know, and at the grocery store. And they always mock me because I talk to everybody. And you guys are going to start doing that now, too.
I guess so.
This is very cool. That's it. So,
I learned a lot.
Yeah.
Like I'm 4 years old.
Yeah.
And I learned from, like, one thing I got from the AA program is most of my AA sponsors have been younger than me.
Wow, Bobby.
And they teach me, they've taught me a lot. That's lot of stuff, given me insight. And, you know, like AA, like being spiritual.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely, Bobby. And so we learn from this young guy too. Yeah. Thus older ones will learn from the young and be inspired up. Yes.
Luke, as you were talking, it really, like, the Lord was just talking to me, and he really told me that, hey, you know, you take the little kids to the playground every week, the playground's full of people who are just family.
Ooh.
I just want to tell you, you can hold me account. You can every week you can ask me who I talk to at the playground, because I just feel like now I take my kids to the playground and I get frustrated with people for how they're acting, but I never stop to ask how they're doing or how I can care for them.
Wow. That's cool.
Wow, Brittany, that's good.
I know the Lord. Would you like to know him, you know? And so you can ask me every weekend just who I talk to at the playground.
There
Thank
you go.
Thank you so much, and hold me accountable as well.
Evangelism partners, holding each other accountable. That's fantastic. Okay, last question. Anybody else with a question or a comment? Okay, well, why don't you guys do this? Would you extend your hands towards Luke, and let's just pray a grace of the Lord over him. Father, we thank you for this young man, so filled with the Holy Spirit and standing up here in boldness today to bring your message to us about being friends of God, being sons and daughters of God, and being beloved of God, belonging to you. We thank you, Lord. It's not just the words that he speaks, but he believes it in his heart, and we can see the evidence of that. And we thank you for that. And we pray grace over him, Lord, as he goes into the new season of school, which starts up this week, his new internship, and as he gets ready to, graduate in May with his master's degree. We pray, Lord God, that he would be a walking testimony of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that everywhere he goes, the light of Christ would shine through him in the midst of the darkness, and that the darkness would not be able to overcome it. We pray, Lord God, that this message that has touched all of our hearts today would not just be something we quickly forget, but that we'd put into practice these words. For you, O Lord, you are able to do more than we could ask or imagine. So let your grace be upon the whole fellowship, and we thank you for this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.